First John chapter 1. First John chapter 1. Let me get my specs on here. Back in the group. The Bible says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard and which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That we which have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fellowship we've had and the singing and Sunday school hour and all that's been done here so far this morning. Now, it's, we preach your word today. Lord, we need you more than anything. Lord, I need you. Lord, I can't do it on myself, and Lord, need a filling of you, Lord, to preach with conviction and power. Lord, I pray every heart here is receptive, Lord, prepared, Lord, to take your word and apply it into their own life, Lord, and know it's real. And I pray for the salvation of each one here. There's anyone here that's not sure, never made a profession, never called on your name for salvation. Lord, we pray that day. Lord, convict their hearts that today will be that day. Lord, that they'll trust you for salvation, put their soul into your hands, be eternally saved. Lord, and we'll thank you for it in advance, what you're going to do in this service. In Jesus' name, I pray. The title of the message today is The Real Life. We went through Vacation Bible School. The theme of the Bible school was Illumination Station, and of course it was illuminating Jesus. Of course, Jesus is the light of the world. He's the light that illuminates, and light does a lot of things. But, you know, really trying to illuminate Jesus, bring him out, and it was all kind of things about Jesus that we taught. I had adult Sunday school class or a vacation Bible school class. We went through some things there, and we enjoyed doing that. I enjoyed doing that. But you know, when we think about when now we have the Word of God and we're trying to preach Jesus, and we live in such a video world, everything is visual, you know, very visual, teaching tools and all that. And so, you know, so I think a lot of times because of that, people have a hard time believing what they can't see. Well, now we live in an AI world. Now you're going to have a hard time believing what you do see. You don't know if what you're looking at is really real, and man, it gets kind of confusing there. But you know, our Bible lesson, one of the Bible lessons that we had in Vacation Bible School, it asked this question. Jesus asked this question actually in the Bible. He said, "Who do you say?" Well, first he said, "Who do men say that I am?" He asked his disciples that were sitting there, "Who do men say that I am?" And they said, "Well, you know, some of them think maybe you're John the Baptist coming back from the dead. Some of them think maybe you're Elijah, Jeremiah or Nehemiah. Jeremiah, maybe one of the prophets, you know, they think that." And then he said, "Well, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" This is the most, it's probably one of the most important questions in the Bible. Because if you get this messed up, you can't have a right picture of God, you know, because he is God in the flesh. And so you've got to get this straightened out. Who do you say that I am? And you know, sometimes I think people think like, well, you know, maybe Jesus was just somebody. They gave some sample things in the lessons and said some people might think that Jesus was just somebody that lived a long time ago. Well, he was somebody that lived a long time ago, but I'm going to tell you, he's still alive today. He's just as alive today. He's probably more alive today than he was then, because then he was in his humanity in a body like you and I have, and we know how these bodies are working or not. But then when he ascended up to the Father, and so John, in his book, and you know, I'm going to tell you what, 1 John is a great book. I'm going to preach out of 1 John tonight. As a matter of fact, it's a great book. You go all over the place in 1 John, and I'm going to. But it's just a great book to look at if you really want to study the life of Jesus and, you know, really find everything out you can. This is a small book, but got a lot in it right there. Jesus is just alive today. And when Jesus lived, when he walked on the earth, he showed us the real life. What real life could look like, what the life that God intended for you and I to live, this is what he showed us. I mean, what is your example of a real life today? What are you looking at? I mean, sports stars, movie stars. What, you know? I mean, what do you really look at? What's your example? This is what the real life ought to be. Jesus showed the only real life, how life ought to be. And not only did he show it to us, what he does today through the power of the Holy Spirit, he leads us to the real life. This is what he wants from us, and this is what we see. If you want to see it, just read the first book, 1 John. Read that book. It's not very many chapters long, and you can read it in nothing flat. That'll show you what the real life. So I want to, you know, just 3 points I want to talk to you about this morning. Number one, the life revealed in verses 1 and 2. He said, and if you read it, think about this while you're reading it, that which was from the beginning. So see, when he used the word beginning, there's not a beginning with God. There's not a beginning, and Jesus is God, so there's not a beginning, but we have to have words that we can wrap our head around. It says, that which was, it was already there, it didn't start. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and he's talking about Jesus, and our hands have handled of the word of life. That's a title for Jesus. That's a name for Jesus. I'll talk about that in a minute. For the life was manifested, Jesus, the person. And we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. This life revealed. John used that word manifested. He used it several different times. That means something that's really revealed, something that the world can see. It's made visible there. God was always, has always been. Jesus has always been. The Word has always been. But it wasn't manifested where man could see it, revealed for the world to see. And John said they saw. They saw Jesus walking on the earth. They touched him. They handled him with their hands, the word of life. Man, we can take this. We can believe this, right? How many of you took history in school? Do they teach that anymore? I don't know that they do. How many of you took it, right? Did you believe what you read? A lot of it, you know. Did any of you ever see George Washington? You didn't touch him? No, you didn't talk with him? How you know he's real? Well, the book said, huh? Now we got, this is a record. This is a true record right here. Revealed, and they saw this. Now let me ask you this. If you were God, how would you reveal yourself to man? You know, you're God. God's a spirit. God the Father's a spirit. How are you going to reveal yourself to man? I've got to tell man. I've got to let man know about me. How would you reveal your love to man? How would you, if you were God, how would you let man know how much you love him? He loves his creation. That's us. You got to let somebody know, right? He's got a way. How would you do it? Well, we're not smart enough to figure it out, but God is. God is smart enough. This is what he said. One thing the Bible tells us is that God is really revealed in creation, but it's not complete. I mean, we look around, you know, that people say, oh, the Big Bang Theory is something's this dense, it blew up, and everything landed in the right spot in the atmosphere. Just think about that. One explosion, the Earth's been rotating at 25,000 miles an hour for thousands of years, never slowed down. Isn't that crazy? That didn't happen. That didn't happen. I mean, everything got right on the Earth. You know, the Earth has to sit on just such an axis, or we wouldn't have winter and summer, spring and fall. And then it's rotating at that speed. If it goes any faster, everybody'd fly off of it. If it got any slower, man alive, you know, plant life and all couldn't live because of the way the sunlight's got to get on. It's just the right distance from the sun, perfect distance. Any farther away, we'd freeze to death. Any closer, we'd burn up. Imagine an explosion creating that. Matter of fact, how many of you use an explosion to create anything other than a hole in the ground? An explosion doesn't create anything. And so it wasn't created. It was created by God. Just think of the preciseness. There's millions of things you can go get all the scientific data, the specs, you know, and measurements and weights and all this and everything, how it worked. Who thought of having evaporation go up into the air, turn into a cloud, and put the rain back down on the ground and water all the plants, and it runs back into the rivers and lakes and oceans and then evaporates again and goes around there? What a system. It's a closed loop system. Huh? Created by God. Right? Think about that. But it's not complete. It doesn't really, it reveals maybe the power of God, what God can do, his wisdom. It reveals that, but it doesn't reveal, it doesn't really reveal his love. Not necessarily. You might not be able to pick that up. I mean, I can see it, but you might not be able to see it. So creation is a It's not a complete revelation or manifestation of God. Well, then we got his word. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, or they believe half of what God says or half of what the word of God says. And well, I know that God, blah, blah, blah. Well, how do you know? Well, most of what we know is written in the word of God. This is what we know. And we can find all the characteristics of God. It's not an experience, but it's what we read. We find out about God through the word of God. The complete book. This is a more complete revelation than creation, because now we know some things. God spoke. God said. His word. It reveals Jesus Christ. And so now Jesus has come. He walked as a man during his time on earth, 33 years. He died on the cross. He resurrected. He stayed on earth a little bit longer. But then he ascended up to Father, up to the Father. He's up in heaven. So we had his. Now that we don't have him in a human sense, we've got this word of God that reveals Jesus Christ. It's the complete. Jesus was the complete and final revelation of God. The word still remains. He was the word. He's the word, right? John 14:9 says, he that hath seen me, Jesus said this, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. So when we see Jesus, we've seen the Father. You know, this is what we see. This is how we know that. I don't know why, for some crazy reason, when I was a kid and didn't know anything that I know now, I always pictured God. I always pictured the faces that we see of Jesus, which are probably inaccurate as they can be as to how he looked. But that's all I could see. I couldn't see anything else. Don't know anything else. And it says in verse 1 that he's called the Word of Life. The Word of Life. Capital W there on that. In the Gospel of John, same writer, but he wrote the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Now listen to this. And it says, and the Word was God. And then you go down to verse 14, and it says, and the Word was made flesh, Jesus. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So here's the deity of Christ. That the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, but it says the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, and it had to be Jesus. That tells us that Jesus is God. I had an argument with somebody, one of the cults. We got in a discussion about this. Oh, no, Jesus, he's not God. I said, well, the Bible says. And they told me, said, well, in the original, and this is true, it said, well, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It said, a God. And I said, okay. I said, that's true. It is in there that way. But I said, how many gods are there? And he said, oh, there's many gods. I said, how many true ones? He knew I had him. One. I said, Jesus is a false God, true God. Well, we got to go. And they left. We got to go, man. Nice talking to you. You know, they didn't. I mean, I got to give them the truth, right? They need the truth, too. So here it is. It's just showing us the deity there. But why is he called the Word of Life? Why is he called the Word of Life? Because Christ is to us what our words are to others. Christ is to us what our words are to others. Why? Because our words reveal to others what we think and what we feel. That's our words. That's how do people know? How you sat there like a bump on a log, never said nothing. How would anybody know anything about you? How would they know how you are? What's your personality? What do you think? What do you know? How do you, you know, do you love? Do you hate? What? You know, you don't know until somebody talks. That's why, and so the words, he's called the Word because the Word reveals to all of us who he is, what he is, what he thinks, how he feels. It reveals, Jesus reveals, and I say reveals, not revealed, reveals, he still does to us the heart and mind of God because he is God. Amen. He reveals that to us. I want to say, listen, here's the Word right here. This is it. This is really one way you can put, I've heard this put this way, this is God's love letter to man. I'm encouraging you to get a Bible, man, get a good Bible. I'll help you with it if you want. Get a study, I like a study Bible, because a study Bible, see at the beginning of my Bible, it tells me the background, when, who the author is, when it was written, the years, they know, because Hebrews kept real good records. And it tells us that and gives you the outline for it. And then I got notes down here that'll comment on all the words. I'll tell you what, man, this is the Word of God. This is the Word of God, man. It's nothing any more important to read than this. Now, it's revealing God's thoughts to it. And I'm going to tell you what, and it's a living book too, because while you're reading it, God will speak to your heart. God speaks to us while we read His Word. It's important, man, the Word of God. Don't neglect it. Satan will talk you out of it, but I'm telling you what, don't neglect it. And if a man, listen, it's so important. If a man is wrong about Jesus, he's wrong about God, because Jesus is the complete revelation of God to man. 1 John 2:23 says, "Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father." I mean, you can't deny the Son. Why? Because they're one. So Jesus came and He revealed God to us, and He showed us the life that God wants us to live and enjoy. And it's really His life, though. It's really His life living in us. Now I'm going to tell you something. It's not imitation. Jesus didn't come and say, live His life and walk up and down the earth and say, okay, here's my life, look at it. I want you to imitate this. You couldn't do it. He said, no, I want you to surrender to me and be crucified with me, and then you'll live. Not you, but Christ will live in you. It's really His life. Then His life will be manifested. How's His life manifested today for the rest of the world to see? He's not down here in His body in the flesh. It's in our body. People see Jesus in His people. That's the manifest life. That's the manifest life. And so you can't imitate it. God's got a better way. God's got a better way than imitation. I mean, do you want imitation or do you want the real thing? I'll never forget old Tony Hudson preaching on that one time about skim milk. He said, man, when I go down, you know, they had the different color tops on them. Don't they have the tops are different? But the real deal was the red top, or he called it a pink top, I think. Red top is red. He said, man, I tell you, when I go get it, I want the red top. He said, I want the real thing. I don't want no imitation. I can't believe it's not butter. He said, he didn't say that, but he wanted the real thing. Well, don't you want the real thing? We want the real life. So the second point is the life experienced. In verse 2, I read it to you already. So the life was manifested. We have seen it, bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. So in other words, John, he had a personal encounter with Christ. We can understand that, right? I mean, he said he handled him. He said he saw him when he walked on earth. He experienced that. Now, he didn't just read about it in a book. And you're thinking right there. Now, I know what you're thinking, see, because I'm a prophet. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, yeah, but he was living in that day. And we're not living in that day. He lived when Jesus walked. But I'm going to tell you something. Listen to this. It wasn't their physical nearness to Christ that made them who they were. Judas Iscariot was as close to Christ as the rest of them, right? It wasn't their physical nearness, just getting near Jesus, kind of brushed up against Him and hope something was going to, you were going to turn into a Christian. No, it was the spiritual, it was their spiritual experience, the spiritual nearness. There was lots of people that was around Jesus in them days that never got saved, never trusted Him. It was the spiritual thing that made a difference in their life. They believed what Jesus said. We got it right here. Did Jesus say more than what's in the Bible? Yeah, but everything we need to know is recorded in the Bible. Everything in the Word of God is what we need to know. You need to know this. And they committed themselves and they followed Him and they trusted Him. They obeyed Him. They loved Him. They experienced eternal life. Man, they had this life. That's the great thing. I remember my pastor said this one time, or somebody said it, and that just stuck with me very well. We always think we're going to get something in the future. Yeah, one day I'm going to have eternal life. No, you got it now. Amen. I have eternal life now. The body may die, but my soul and spirit, which is more important than the body, is going to live forever. And so we have it now. We have eternal life. That's a profound thought. We're just going to live forever. Man, this is a profound thought. And we can have, they experienced eternal life. There's in this letter, there was six things in this letter John used to And John used the phrase "born of God." He talked about that. He told in the book of John, he told Nicodemus, he said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And then he said, "You know, you must be born again." You know, I heard a message one time preached on the must be's of the Bible. You know, there's some things that you can maybe and perhaps, but he said, listen, if you want to have eternal life, if you want to get to heaven, if you want your sins forgiven, you know, all that, you must be born again. It's a spiritual birth. And Nicodemus even questioned him in the physical, you know. He said, well, how can a man that's born, you know, crawl back into his mother's womb? He can't be born again. He's talking about, no, it's a spiritual birth. You've got to be born again. This is it. And that's the only way we can experience the real life. The life of God in us is by a spiritual birth that takes place in our heart and soul. And it's all different. I mean, it's not different on the means, how we grow, how we grow in life. And, it's different that way. Some people, man, they grasp a lot in a hurry. Man, I mean, they grow. You know, you can grow. It's just like growing anything. You grow something, one thing may shoot up, and the other one takes a little longer. It's just like that, how it grows. But we have to be born again and see how that works. And that's the only way to experience the gift of God to those who trust and believe his word about Jesus, the Savior of the world, the spiritual birth. There's power in the real life. Power in the real life, and God's the one that gives the power. Now I'm going to show you one time, it's been some years back, some of y'all remember this. I went out and I got a bunch of little corn kernels, and they're dry, you know, they were dry seeds, like the seeds. And I gave everybody a seed. How many of y'all remember that? Y'all remember got your little seed? And we got everybody out there with a seed, and everybody got to look at their little seed. And I said this, it doesn't look like there's any life in that seed, did it? I mean, it's just hard and dry. You could lay that thing on in the house for years. Nothing happens. I said, take it on home and plant it. And some of them did. I remember Speedy saying, man, I grew my corn stalk, and I think some of them grew. And put that thing in there. All of a sudden, there's life in there. See, but you had to water it, right? Great illustration in the Bible. Man, listen, we have the capacity for God, but I'm going to tell you what, we don't have the spiritual life, but when the Holy Spirit comes in and it's watered by the book, this is called the water, watered by the Word of God, man, there's life that grows. And how many of you probably experienced this in your life? A little old seed, how much power's in that thing? Well, I'll tell you what, you get one of them fall down in a crack of a big giant rock, and that little seed starts to grow. Out of there, it'll bust that rock slam in half in that little seed. It all started with that little seed. That's just look at that power in nature. Did God reveal himself in nature? Yeah. Look at the power that's in nature. Well, just think about the Holy Spirit, boy. This, man, the Word of God, the seed goes in, and the Holy Spirit, and we've got this power. And then we have an inconceivable power. And John wrote this letter to tell people how to be sure that they have really been born of God. He said, listen, in 1 John, and I'm just going to read some of the verses in here, and I'll skip around. You can listen to me if you... In 1 John 5:13, he said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. This is what he wrote the letter for, so you know that you have eternal life. Do you know it? Do you know that you have eternal life? You can know. It's not a hope. People say, well, you going to heaven? I hope so. I'm going to tell you what, if you're hoping, you ain't getting there. Huh? I think so. I mean, we ought to know. We ought to know. We're not getting there because we're perfect. We're getting there because we're saved, right? You know, because we asked Jesus to save us. It's pretty simple. Man, a person that's born of God, well, how do you know? Well, a person that's born of God lives a righteous life. This doesn't mean a perfect life, but this means that it's going to be the predominant thing in their life. 1 John chapter 2, verse 29, it says, if ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. It doesn't mean that you're doing righteousness to be born again, but it means when you are born again that righteousness is going to come out. Goodness is going to come out of your life. A person who's born of God does not practice sin. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, whoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. He cannot sin because he's born of God. That means practice sin, a lifestyle of sin. It doesn't mean it might not slip or fall, but it means they don't practice sin. It says that those that are born of God love the brethren. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, it says that. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Man, we can love like, we can't love like God without God. We've got to love like God with God, right? It said that. Every person that's born of God does not love the world system. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, I think it is. 15 says, love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of Father, but is of the world. Man, listen, it says the world passes away, man. This is the world system. That people that are born of God don't love the world system. I'll tell you what, if you love God, you're going to be hated by the world. 1 John 3, 13 says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Listen, the world hated Jesus, right? They crucified Jesus. If you got Jesus in you, guess what? The most of this world system ain't going to be real happy with you. They're going to hate you. This is what he's telling. But I'm telling you what, who's born of God overcomes the world. 1 John 5, 4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Listen, we can overcome that world. Man, listen, it's important to know whether you've been born of God or not. Huh? You got to know, you know that. God's not looking for perfection, trust me. But I'm going to tell you what, I don't aim lower than that. That's not an excuse to say, well, I'm never going to be perfect, so I'm not going to put any effort out whatsoever. I mean, listen, if you got the Holy Spirit of God leading you and you follow the Holy Spirit's leading, well, what are you going to do if you're following the Holy Spirit's leading? You're going to do right, right? He's not going to lead you into wrong. He's not going to lead you into evil. Just follow the Holy Spirit. You know, one time we took the offer, we had a Sunday morning offering, people put it in. Whoever took the money down to the bank, I don't know if Stanley, you were taking it down there, but we took it to the bank. I get a call. They said, hey, we got a counterfeit $100 bill from you guys. All right, which one of you held up the bank or printing money, you know? So I went down there and I said, well, you know, we whittled it down to who had it, but they didn't know they had it. You know, if you don't know, right? But you could take a counterfeit $100 bill. Somebody explain it this way. You could do a lot of good with it if nobody knew it was counterfeit, right? You could buy stuff. We might have taken that and sent missionary money over to missionaries around the world with a counterfeit. But one day, somebody going to find it. Guess what? We was out $100, man, because they found it when we got it. Rats. we got to take this. Well, you going to give me another $100? No. That $100 bill, the bucks stopped here, literally. I mean, that's where it was. It was the $100 that stopped right there. But them $100 do a lot of good. But you know what? Counterfeit was found out one day. And I'll tell you what, man, people can get in churches and not be saved. They can join churches and not be saved. They can sing in the choir. Some of y'all know I shared with some stuff with you this morning, man. They can preach in the pulpit and not be saved and maybe not be saved. And, man, there's a lot of things that can be done, good things that can be done. But you know what? The Bible says one day that the Lord's going to come back and there's going to be many that said, Lord, Lord, have not we done many wonderful works? They did many wonderful works. They were church members. They was in church. They did many wonderful works. He said, depart from me, workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Never knew you. They never got saved. They were never born again. You could be sick. People go to hell off church pews all the time, man, because they're not really born again. Just come and it's good to come and listen, man, but what are you going to do with the Word of God? Huh? I'll tell you what, man, I'm not the sharpest tack in the box, but when somebody pointed out to me, they asked me this question, have you ever asked Jesus to forgive you of your sin and come into your life? I grew up an old Methodist boy. I ain't picking on the Methodists. I'm just telling you, nobody ever asked me that question, and I never heard it preached that way. And I said, I was 33. And I said, no. I've never asked Jesus to forgive me of my sin coming to my life. Well, they showed me in the Bible what the Bible said. It took me to Romans 10:9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I said, well, man, I need to do that. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Word of God, Jesus, the Word, the living Word said. Jesus said, ye must be born again. Man, I asked Jesus to save me. I got baptized and all that, And boy, you know, I had a lot of baggage and God dealt with it all. And here I am today. Just, who'd have thought, right? But, I mean, it's the work of God, right? It's the work of God. This is what the Bible says. Life revealed, the life experienced. I've experienced the new life, the new birth. I know I have spiritual life. Man, I get convicted about things. Man, I get burdened about things. I feel the presence of the Lord when I pray. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I'm distanced from God. It's not His fault, it's mine. Sometimes it's easier to preach than other times. Sometimes I really feel the power of God. I can feel God moving. Sometimes it's a struggle. Sometimes I just know, I know enough that I can spit it out whether I can feel God, the unction from God or not. I know that. It's not fun, but I don't know if it's effective either, but I know I've been born again. And then the last thing is the life shared. In verses 3 and 4, it said, this is what John is saying. He said, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. I got that underlined. We're telling you. And you know what? We could just put us right here. He was talking to people in his day that might have also seen Jesus herself in his humanity. But he's talking to us. We declare unto you that ye also may have fellowship with us spiritually. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Huh? You ain't going to have, you know, there's happiness and joy, and they're not the same. Happiness go up and down. Joy is a thing no matter what the circumstances are. You'll never have it without Christ. You'll never really have joy. It'll never last without Christ. And then when you have the experience, boy, I'm telling you what, there's nothing like the fullness of God and knowing that you're saved. We still face, listen, we face problems like everybody else. Huh? We have deaths and sicknesses and disappointments and discouragements like everybody else. Huh? But it doesn't take my joy away from that. And he said he declared that to us. And once it's a reality, listen, when you know something really good, we're so good at sharing things. Man, we got Facebook now. If anything exciting happens or not, we get it all. You know, everybody shares it. They can't wait. It's all over the place, right? We got the greatest news that ever was. The resurrection, the greatest news that ever was. That you can be saved, the greatest news that ever was. Man, when you get saved and you really got God, you want everybody to experience this. All your loved ones. You know, everybody. I mean, everybody people that you don't even know. I'll never forget Damien's testimony one time from the prayer advance. He went out there and he prayed. We had the sweet hour of prayer, and then we're going to go to lunch. I was in the bus, and I prayed in the bus. And when it was time, the hour was up, and I opened up the door so some of them would come. Well, Damien was over the field there, over the hill at that church, and he came up there. He goes, hey. He goes, I'm not going to go to lunch. I'm just going to keep on praying. I'm going to stay out here and keep praying. I already prayed for an hour. He went out there and he prayed. And man, when he got done, he said he went down the hill and he went down to 460 and he came around. He came up the road and he said, man, he came up and his testimony was, he said, I just felt the love of God. Like it was just so strong. He said, I was walking along. There was a construction worker when they're building that firehouse. They were building that firehouse at the time. He said, I just walked by. I love that. I love the construction worker. Didn't know him. He's not talking about love in an immoral way. Talking about the love of mankind. And he said, I just loved him. I didn't know him. I just loved that guy. I loved everybody. Man, the overflow. That's the fullness of God, because God is? Love. Y'all need a little practice here. God is?
Love.
There you go. Thank you. Wake me up, will you? He just said, man, that was it, man. That you're talking about joy, man. That's the real things. I mean, so you want to share that with everybody else, man. You want people to have the same thing. He said five reasons for sharing. Verse 3, he said, so we can have fellowship one with another. God sent Jesus that we all have something in common. We all, if you're saved, you have something in common with every other saved person. I ran into a guy at Walmart the other day. I ran into this guy, and I kept noticing he was saying, boy, it was a blessing and this and that. And I said, hey, man, are you a Christian? And he said, yeah, I am. I said, well, I noticed some of your language may lead me to believe that. Didn't know him from the man in the moon. We started yapping. It was like, Sherry, I think she's wondering, what in the world has happened? She's over in the grocery department. I'm over in the pants department. And I'm talking to some guy that I never knew in my life, but there was a bond there. There was a knit. We got to talking about things. And he got ready to go. I said, hey, man, let me pray with you. Here we are over there between the polo shirts and the pants. And I have my arm on. Man, and we bowed our heads. I prayed out loud with him. I mean, I wasn't screaming so everybody. But, I mean, I prayed out loud. Prayed just to fellowship with him. And, man, we talked about the Lord. And, I mean, that was just... How come we could do that? Because we have something in common. Amen. Found out we had some more than that in common, because he had something to do with welding in his career. And I used to be a boulder maker and welding on nuclear power plant piping and that kind of thing. And so, we had that too. But listen, Jesus opened the way for us to come to God on the cross and take us into his family. And Christ took on himself the nature of man, that by faith we may receive the nature of God. Isn't that something? Christ took on the nature of man, that by faith we can take on the nature of God. Man, that's something right there. And we can have fellowship with other believers. We just talked about joy. The one reason we share is so that people can be full of joy. Listen, Jesus is the answer. In this world there's a lot of emptiness. There's a lot of loneliness. There's a lot of hollowness of life. People just going through the motions. They don't feel anything. Look like zombies going through life. If not outwardly, certainly inwardly. He's the answer to all that, man. Not manufactured joy. It's the product of the Christ dwelling in us. This life, it's a real life. It's a real joy that's in that. And then he tells us in chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. Any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. Man, he writes it so that we don't sin, but if we do, we have an advocate. It's like a lawyer, an attorney. Real life, that's the life of victory. We don't have to sin. And that we also, in verse 2:26, that we be not deceived. He went on to say that, and he said, these things have I written to you concerning them that seduce you. There's a lot of false things out there. Just watch TV for a certain amount of time and you'll find that out. Philosophies, the no absolute philosophy, that's a lie. There is absolute truth, and I'm reading from it today and preaching it to you today. John used a word that no other New Testament writer uses. He uses the word Antichrist in chapter 2 and chapter 4. He uses that. Anti means against, or it can mean also instead of. And there's a lot of instead ofs out there. People in the world are trying a lot of things instead of Christ to get to what Christ is trying to give them: peace, contentment, joy, happiness. Substitute Christ, substitute Bible, substitute worship. It's the real life. It has the real life has discernments because we have the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 15, or chapter 5, verse 13, I already read it to you, that we can know that we're saved. A life that's built, a real is built on assurance. John uses the word know, to know, more than 30 times. And so we can know that. And, most people are dissatisfied in life because their total personality has never been completely controlled by something real and meaningful. When we trust Christ, man, and he imparts his Holy Spirit, listen, God, he's controls. And it's salvation, really, he's got our heart, he's got our mind. That's the real life right there, a spirit-filled life, controlled life. Knows what he knows and understands the truth, feels and gives love, and is inclined to obedience. That's the real life right there. Listen, folks, there's no middle ground. Either lost or you're saved. There's no in-between. There's no neutral. You're lost or saved. Everybody here is in one of them categories today. You either have the life of God or not. You're either born again or you're not. You either have eternal life and know it or not. You either love God or you don't. And you know what? We can't even in our own strength love God like we should. We got to have God to love God like we should. How about that? The question's simple. Do you have the real life or not? Imitation or the real thing? You got the real thing. And it's easy. Just ask. It's easy. Just ask. Ask the Lord to forgive you, come into your life, make you what you don't. I don't know how God's going to make you what He wants you to be, but He works through the power of His Spirit, through His life. You can have the real life. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's all stand. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, that You sent Your Son that we could see the real life. And we thank You for giving that to us, Lord, imparting Your life into us that believe. It's my prayer here today that You speak to every heart. You know, speak to those hearts, Lord, that need You and need to call on Your name for their salvation, Lord. We know we're not saved by being near the Word of God or near. We're not saved by just being in the church building, Lord, but we're saved by calling on Your name and trusting You if we confess with our mouth. And I pray today as we have invitation, if somebody's lost, they'll come down and say, hey, I need to get saved. And what a great day that would be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.